Hello everyone and welcome to today's episode on the Moment of Truth with the Debunking Doctor, and I'm your host 3D, the Debunking Doctor. And well, I should ask, how are you preparing for tomorrow, for the week anyways? Well, I wish you the very best as you go about your business, work, you know, this week. I hope that this week, I mean, bears so much fruit and you are happier at the end of it than you were in the beginning. Okay, so guess what I tagged today's episode? I actually tagged it the parable of the non-healing wounds. Sounds funny, right? But then what I mean to say is that today's episode will address the reason or the reason. It might take a while before a wound will heal or not heal at all. Okay, that is what we'll be talking about today. The reason I've decided to talk about it, of course, to Nigerians and to every other listener all over the world is that basically in Nigeria and in Nigerian hospitals, we keep seeing people come into the hospital with wounds in different parts of the body, especially on the legs, that have been there for very long. Sometimes by the time they come, these wounds have gone very far. The leg, both legs or one, is rotting already, or things have gone really, really far before they come to the hospital. And when you ask questions, you hear patients say that, you know, they thought it was a spiritual attack. They thought it was, you know, somebody dealing with them spiritually, a spiritual affliction. And because of that, all the effort they had made is to fight the battle spiritually. And somehow they forgot the medical aspect of fighting the battle. And because they had decided to put the medical aspect behind, then they come in at, you know, times that sometimes things have gone a little bit too bad. Okay, and then sometimes we tend to resort to the last resort, which usually is the amputation of the affected limb. Most of the time that doesn't come, you know, very pleasant for whoever is affected. Yes, that is going to at least be the end of the suffering from the leg, the rotting, you know, the unpleasant smell or the unpleasant look. But then it leaves the person with a scar, and sometimes the scar is for life. Most of the time, these things are quite preventable. They are things that we can work on and prevent them from happening. But usually, people do not have that information. And so, what I'm here to say today is to establish the fact that if a wound is not healing, or a wound is taking too long before it heals, most of the time, you need to see a doctor. It really is not a spiritual affliction, or somebody is, you know, dealing with you spiritually. It could actually be a pointer to the fact that you need to check yourself up. And that is the point that I'm here to make today. But before I move on, I mean, to go into the details of the things that may prolong wound healing, I'm going to, you know, go on my 1 minute break. And then thereafter, I'll launch into the deep. I'll be back. Welcome back. So just like I was saying in my introductory statement, I said that today I'm going to be talking about, you know, all the factors that may prolong the healing of a wound. And then I'm going to, you know, focus, of course, on the commonest cause of a non-healing wound to Nigerians and for Nigerians. So we talk about that, and then we blow this myth of, oh, when a wound is not healing, or when a wound is, you know, just there, not going, it is a spiritual affliction. We're about to blow that myth so that we come to the understanding of the truth. And I hope that this episode does exactly that for you and for your loved ones. To begin, when there's a wound in the body, in any part of the body really, it sends a signal to different aspects of the body, to the blood, to the brain, to the spinal cord. It sends a message to them to say, oh, there's a wound here. Oh, there's a wound there. And that message, of course, arouses the beginning of the wound healing process. It's a process of, you know, lots of things going on together, but all of them work together to actually help the wound to heal in time so that, you know, things are not prolonged unnecessarily. It is important that this message is sent appropriately at the right time to the right centers, because it is the appropriateness of the message that determines the appropriateness of the response. You got that. Okay. And so we talk about factors that help a wound to heal in time. Okay, so I'm going to talk about these factors and I want you to pay very good attention to them. Starting next time you have a wound on any part of your body, you can pay more attention. Okay, you can know what to do. You can know when to look for help. We're together, right? Okay, so let's go. So I'm going to begin by, you know, highlighting the various factors that actually help our wounds to heal. I mean, to heal in time, to progress appropriately, to go through the process of wound healing as expected. I mean, without any troubles, and then the wound heals in time. It's important, of course, for me to establish one or two things. If we notice, most of the time, a child's wound will heal quite fast. So age plays a role in wound healing in that, you know, it may take a while for an elderly person's wound to heal compared to a child. That's the first. So it is wrong for the grandpa or the grandma, you know, to compare himself or herself to a child, you know, a young person, a growing person. And, you know, most of the time, by the time we're growing old, the elasticity of the skin starts to drop. The skin becomes less elastic. Elderly persons should not compare the rates of their wound healing to a young adult or a child. It is actually very different. It's slower for the wound of an elderly person to heal compared to a young adult or a child. The other thing that we should also take note of is the size of the wound, okay? We do not expect that, you know, a wound from a razor would take the same time as the wound from a machine. Okay, so the larger the wound, the longer it will take before it heals completely. Of course, you agree with me on that. But then apart from these two that I've mentioned, of course, are other important things that are quite common to, I mean, either elderly or young or a small-sized wound or a large wound. There are factors that are pretty common to all of them. And I'm going to be talking about these factors now. The point I made about wound healing in a child or a growing adult compared to an elderly person is to call your attention to something. And that is the fact that any wound on a child that is taking too long to heal needs attention. I mean, very good attention, as it may be pointing to something sinister. Just like I said, everything is in place and we expect that rapidity in the responses in their body compared to an elderly person. And so if a wound on a child is not healing, especially despite, you know, doing the right things, you're feeding the child well, you're giving the right drugs, you know, prescribed by a doctor, you're taking care of the child, and yet the wound has refused to heal. At that time, is the time to visit the doctor with the child. That wound has to be explored, has to be seen, has to be evaluated. I hope you got that. First of it, which is perhaps the most important, is about the blood flow to the part of the body that has the wound. Okay, let me quickly paint the scenario so that you can, you know, follow me very closely. Wounds, have you noticed that wounds on the head, on the face, on the neck, heals faster than wounds on the chest? The wounds on the chest heals faster than the wounds on the tummy. We call it the abdomen in medicine. Okay, wounds on the tummy heals faster than the wounds on our legs. Okay, in fact, even on the leg, wounds that are on our thigh would heal faster than the wounds on our toes. Okay, and have we wondered why this happened? The reason for that is basically because of the blood flow. I mean, the blood flow to the different parts of the body. There's a very rich blood flow to the scalp, that's to the head, to the face and the neck. The blood flow is very rich. So most of the time, people with cuts on the face, on their scalp, on, you know, on the head, on the face, on the neck, those wounds will heal quite fast. And that's because the blood flow to this part of the body is very rich. That's number one. The blood flow away from this part of the body is also very fast. And that's because gravity helps. I mean, for crying out loud, all that the blood needs to do is flow down into the heart. Right? And that's all. Now compare that to a wound on the leg. And of course, say on the toe or on the around the ankle, you know, those wounds. And then before we know it, that wound stays, I mean, longer. And that's because the blood flow to the legs is not as rich as to your head and neck. That's the first. The blood flow to them is not as rich. Blood flow from them back to the heart takes more work, and that is because it is working against pressure, against gravity, pardon me. We all know that it's a lot easier for water to flow down than for it to flow up, which means that wounds on our legs, you know, any part of the leg, would need more effort to actually remove the used blood from them to flow back to the heart. And the other thing that we need to know as it relates to blood, or why it is important in wound healing, is that blood is a liquid medium. It actually transports everything around the body, from the nutrients in our food to the air that we breathe in. And you know, it helps to distribute them as it is needed to different parts of the body. So if blood flow to any part of the body at any time is impaired or not so good, it will definitely affect how the wound on that part of the body will do. That's the first. If the flow of blood, of used blood, of course, away from a wound is impaired too, it stops the healing of that wound. And the problem is that, you know, once rich blood with very rich nutrients leave the heart, they go to different parts of the body to do what they have to do to distribute this nutrient. That's a normal thing. And of course, once they distribute this nutrient, the used blood, which is, you know, has very little nutrients, little to no nutrients, or has very reduced amount of oxygen, is going back to the heart so that it can pick up, you know, richer level of oxygen to distribute again. Now this used blood has problem leaving any part of the body. It means that this dirt, this used blood, is staying where it should not stay. And usually once it stays there, it also affects the rich blood that is coming in that it will dilute the effect. I hope you understand me. So, the question is, how do we know when a part of the body is not letting go of its used blood, right? Okay, one way that we get to know in medicine is that that part of the body becomes swollen. Does that sound familiar? You know, there's a wound on the leg and the leg is just swelling up and it's not, you know, doing very well. Usually a swollen part of the body or a swollen leg that has a wound is pointing to the fact that, you know, used blood is not leaving that part of the body as it should. And definitely that leg needs help. One way to help that leg is for you to elevate your leg. So in case you have your doctor tell you lift your legs when you sit down, when you lie down and all of that, it's just, you know, it's just a doctor telling you help the leg to drain the used blood out of it, because that is what will help that wound to heal. You know, another condition that actually predisposes to, you know, difficulty with getting used blood out of a part of the body is when the heart fails, what we call heart failure. Okay, heart failure can be a complication of a poorly controlled hypertension. I need us to pay attention to that. So usually patient with heart failure might have problems with wound healing, especially if it happens on their legs. Okay, especially if that wound is on the leg, it's difficult for, you know, the blood to go and move back to the heart. And so they have to pay particular attention to help that wound heal. Another condition that would make, you know, that would make fluid to be retained in the body beyond necessary is when the kidneys are not functioning well. Okay, so anybody with a problem with the kidney, we need to pay particular attention to their wounds so that they can get help when it is appropriate to help those wounds to heal. And then for me to just, you know, crown, or for me to conclude on this, you know, blood flow in, out and all of that, is the problem with the level of blood itself. You know, I've been talking about, okay, blood flow in and out of a particular place. Well, that's one thing. The other thing is how much blood is in this person's body. The problem is that if the level of blood in someone's body is low already, then it becomes, difficult for, any wound to heal in that person's body. The reason being that they don't even have enough blood to go around the body sufficiently to help a wound to heal. Okay, so sometimes, okay, you may need supplements, things to build your blood and help you have good amount of blood to help your wound to heal. I hope you got that. Okay, and it is the same mechanism actually in people with sickle cell disease. The amount of blood in their system is already low, which of course would account for the fact that they have reduced oxygen too. And all of that actually comes together to make them have some problems with wound healing. Okay, and that is why it is important that whoever has maybe a child, a relative that has a sickle cell disease, we need to help them to seek medical attention in time in case they have, you know, injuries, especially on their legs. They're actually prone to wounds on the legs. Okay, so when we see that on them, we need to, help them to get medical attention in time so that this wound does not cause problems or does not lead to more and more problems. Okay, so the point I'm trying to make now is that for any part of the body that has problem with blood flow to it, there's going to be some problem with wound healing on that part of the body. And whatever part of the body has problem with blood flowing away from it, there will be problem with wound healing. Okay, so it means that anything at all, whatever factor disturbs blood flow to any part of the body, will affect wound healing. Prominent examples are hypertension that are poorly controlled. You know, we call something dyslipidemia. It's about having the wrong kind of fat in the body. And the problem is that these fats will start to, you know, stick themselves to the walls of the blood vessels and they start to clog it. They start to close it up gradually. And it is actually worse in the legs. So that sometimes when this person is walking, they start to have pain at the back of their legs because blood is not flowing as it should to this part of the body. It becomes worse if this person has hypertension. It is even worse if this person has diabetes, because all of those things have their own effects on the walls of the blood vessels. They make it worse gradually. They injure the walls. The walls try to heal and then it starts to close up gradually and then problems result. So the point I'm making is that oxygen is a very, very important component when it comes to healing a wound. Oxygen is very important. The only way oxygen gets to different parts of the body is through the blood. The meaning is that anything that affects blood flow to any part of the body will affect wound healing in that part of the body because oxygen is not able to get there appropriately. The other thing that is a bit close to that is in people that smokes, whatever it is, cigarettes, marijuana, whatever it is at all. Because the quality of the oxygen has dropped already, because this person smokes, they have a higher chance of having a wound that will not do well, or that may not do well quickly. Okay, so for anybody that is a smoker who has a wound that is not healing well, then the person would do well to abstain from smoking, because as a matter of fact, smoking has not been attached to or associated with any good whatsoever to the human system. And of course, it is also here when it comes to wound healing. A smoker's wound is unlikely to heal as fast or as fine as a non-smoker's wound. Apart from the blood carrying oxygen, it also carries other nutrients, usually the ones that are gotten from the kind of food we eat. Okay, so it's important we need to ask ourselves the question, what do we eat? What are we eating? Usually if the wound is a large one. So it becomes very important for you as the person with that large wound on your leg, on your hands, on your tummy, you have just had a surgery, you have just had an operation, you know. Okay, so once there's a wound in any part of the body, you want to be deliberate about what you eat. You take more proteinous food, you take fishes more, you know, you take eggs more, you eat lots of vitamins, carrots are there, cabbages, tomatoes, you know, all of those things come together to enrich the body with the right level of vitamins that wound would need to heal in time and heal fast. Okay, so if we do not do these things, then we're not helping the body to heal itself in time. And so the wound healing might start to take a while. Apart from these things helping the wound to heal faster, is also helping to, you know, bring up the soldiers in the body. Soldiers, of course, are the contents or the part of the blood that helps to, you know, combat disease-causing organisms that may escape into the blood at any time. And so they mop it up, or that may get to the wound at any time and they mop it up so that it does not cause a problem. So it means that if this person is not eating well, this person has a wound, the person is not eating well, the person is not feeding well, the person just does whatever they do, the person continues to smoke or continues to take lots of alcohol, extreme amount of alcohol, I'll get there too, it means that this person is gradually taking power from the soldiers in his own body. And so they predispose their own wounds to infections. And once an infection enters a wound, it changes the story entirely. It prolongs, automatically prolongs the length of time to heal for that wound. We cannot at any time compare a clean wound to an infected wound when it comes to their healing time. Okay, an infected wound would definitely need more energy, would need more, would be more challenging to deal with compared to a wound that does not have an infection. Eating well, will definitely help our immunity to, be at a very good level to fight this infection off any wound on any part of our body. And so it would help the wound to heal in time. Okay. So the other thing that I'm going to talk about is good hydration. We need to drink more water when we have a wound, especially people with large wounds in different parts of their body. Okay, you have just had an operation. There's a wound in your body. You need to take lots of water. Once your doctor says, oh, you can now eat. Water is an important part of your food if you have a wound. Your blood needs to flow better. Okay, remember that I said that the amount of blood that reaches your wound also determines how fast your wound will heal. Okay, so if the right amount of water is in your system, helps your blood to, flow easily, then it helps that blood to reach every part of your body easily. And of course, your wound will heal better. I hope you got there too. Okay, the other thing that I should mention is about taking lots of alcohol. Most of the time when people take lots of alcohol, they do not eat well. Okay, and because they do not eat well, they predispose their wound to not healing fine or healing in time. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. The other thing that we should also take note of when we have any wound in any part of our body is stress. Okay. Stress can come in from work, even students can be stressed, usually around the period of exams where you have to read through the night, where you have to, get prepared because you need to pass this test, this exams. Those are really stressful period for people. The other thing that can really stress people, taking care of their loved ones that are sick at different times. That can be so stressful for different people. And that may make them not sleep well, not eat well, not take care of themselves, as much as they would. And if that person sustains a wound at any time, at that stressful period, then it's possible that whatever wound that person sustains might not heal quickly or heal fine compared to when the person is not stressed, that person is, doing what they should do at the time that they should do it. Another reason why a wound will not heal is if the wound is cancerous. Okay, a wound can be pointing to a cancer. If that wound is pointing to a cancer, it will not heal unless special things are done, usually in the hospitals by experts and doctors, to help the wound to heal. And of course, the last thing that I'm going to mention, which is, the commonest cause of non-healing wound, in Nigeria, is actually diabetes mellitus. Yoruba call it ito sugar and atogbe. Okay, that's what we call it in Yoruba. But it is diabetes mellitus in medicine. It is a pointer to problem with control of sugar within the body. I had an episode on diabetes mellitus. A full episode with an expert. A consultant endocrinologist from University College Hospital, Ibadan. I had a session with her where she dissected, taught us extensively on diabetes mellitus, how to prevent it, how to manage it, how to be, how to handle it better. Because usually all of the problems about and around diabetes is about the poor control of the sugar. That is where the problem is. It is really not having the diabetes that is the problem. It is having it and not controlling it. That is where the problem is. And one of the problem actually is non-healing wound. Yes, I'm going to enjoin you to please listen to that episode so that you can understand what I'm trying to say. But diabetes as it is, because it is in the blood, can affect every part of the body. the eyes, the kidneys, the heart, every part of the body can be affected by diabetes when it is uncontrolled. And of course, it can also make a wound not to heal. As a matter of fact, it is actually the commonest cause of a non-healing wound, and of course, amputation in Nigeria. I've seen people lost both legs to diabetes mellitus that is uncontrolled or poorly controlled. It is that common and it is that important. Okay, the presence of sugar where it should not be in the body can pose very serious problems. Just like I said, it can affect any part of the body. And I'm still going to refer you to my session with a consultant endocrinologist on the subject of diabetes mellitus. And of course, in her own words, she said that the commonest cause, you know, of anguish when it comes to diabetes uncontrolled is amputation, is the cutting off of the legs. That's the commonest complication they have been seeing in the clinics over years, and it is still there. And it's usually because, you know, people do not come early to the hospital, usually because they think that this wound that is not healing is a spiritual affliction. It is somebody that is, you know, against them. And they are trying to fight this battle just spiritually, and they leave the medical aspect out. And so by the time they come to the hospital, I mean, the legs or whatever part of the body is affected is rotting sometimes way beyond being saved. And so, I mean, the best way to give this person chance to, you know, a good life is to cut off that part of the body which has become a nuisance. Just so I can now make things clearer, apart from the fact that diabetes affects different parts of the body, usually the blood vessels, it also affects a very important part of the body which we call the nerves or the neurons. You know, all human beings, as we have our brains and our spinal cord that runs down our backs. From the spinal cord are tiny other cords that we call the nerves. They supply every part of the body, and they are responsible for, you know, how we feel, the way we respond to different things and all of that. These fibers too, or these nerves, also help us to experience pain. You know, when somebody pinch you on a part of your body, you will shout or you step on something hot or something cold. You know, it is the nerves in those parts of your body that is sending a message to your brain to say that you just stepped on something hot, and then you feel it. But usually, when diabetes mellitus is in the body and it is uncontrolled, the sugar gradually reduces the ability of these nerves to function, which means that the nerve is unable to pick up pain from different parts of the body. You know, usually we hurt ourselves, we feel pain in that part of the body, and then, oh, sometimes it is actually the pain that caused your attention to the injury. You don't even know it is there. But, you know, you have the pain and you check, oh, there's an injury here. Now imagine that there is nothing to tell you that there is pain on your leg, there is pain on your ankle. It means that you would not be able to tell when you have an injury. When diabetes is actually really established in the body and it is uncontrolled, affected persons can actually put their legs in fire, hot water, and they would not feel anything. And that is where the problem is. Because usually most of the people that have had their legs amputated, that I've, you know, had sessions with, when they tell you how it started, you know, it's a bit disheartening. Sometimes, you know, okay, I once had a patient that told me, oh, she was traveling, it was a long distance travel, she was seated in the bus and then had her leg on, you know, that hot part of the bus. That was where she had her leg. And, you know, it was a very long travel. She was leaving Ibadan, going to, I think, Akwa Ibom, I can't really remember. Okay, it was quite long, it was a very long journey in the bus. And she had her leg on that hot thing, on that hot panel of the bus, throughout that journey. She did not feel anything. She didn't know anything. It was until she got to her destination, she realized that, oh, her legs are burnt, like really burnt. You know, and by the time we started, you know, working on it, doing one or two things, because the sugar in our body is still so high and uncontrolled, the wounds were not healing. One thing we also need to understand is that, you know, when we feel pain in that part of the body, that pain is sending a message to the brain, telling the brain that, oh, there's an injury here that needs to be dealt with. And from there, you know, different chemicals are released in the body to help heal this wound. So the meaning is that when there is no pain, there's no message sent to the brain. The brain does not know there's an injury somewhere, so it does not activate you know, the pathway that will help the wound to heal. And so it becomes difficult for that wound to heal. Okay, and that is how diabetes can, you know, cause lots of problems to families and to people if it is not controlled. The other thing, of course, where this problem with nerves and neurons become important is that for every person that has been diagnosed with diabetes, we need to pay extra attention to our legs, to our toes. We need to check in between our toes every day. You know, if you're someone that you're, if you're living with a patient with diabetes, then make it a point of duty to check their legs for them. Check in between their toes. Check it every day. Check the soles of their feet. Be sure there are no injuries there. Check around their legs. Be sure there are no injuries. Help cut their nails. Okay? And be careful when you do. Because, I mean, sometimes it is just that nick in the skin that causes the problem. That's where the problems start from. And just so I do not forget, having sugar all over the body reduces the body's ability to fight infection. So it means that people with diabetes uncontrolled also have a higher tendency to have their wounds infected. And remember what I said, once a wound is infected, it is not going to, do as well as a wound that is not infected. Now, on top of the infection is the sugar that is flying all over the place in the person's blood. That makes wound healing even more difficult. Apart from that, what we had also seen in diabetic patients, in adults, is that they are also on the big side. They have different skin folds, sometimes very prominent skin folds. And usually once a part of the skin is folded on top of the other, that part is moist. You know, it rubs one on top of another. The part that is rubbing on each other become ulcerated, is likely to have a wound, pardon me. And then the part that is folded in will be moist. And because it is moist, organisms that can cause disease will thrive more in that moist environment. Okay? So those are things that may worsen the problem in the patient with diabetes mellitus. And that is why I'd come to talk about it. Sometimes, if a wound is not healing on any part of your body, it is not because you're spiritually afflicted. It is not because somebody is on your case. It is actually a pointer to the fact that you need to pay attention to yourself, get yourself to the hospital. It is not a time to, you know, start using lots of herbal concoctions. It is a time for you to see your doctor and have yourself evaluated fully. I'm blowing the smith so that I hope with this I can save more people out there from the menace of poorly controlled diabetes. Okay, so if there's someone in your family with diabetes, your mom, your dad, your brothers or sisters, and you do not have it yet, it is a call to you being more sensitive and more careful about yourself. You go into the hospital to check frequently so you're sure, and then you know you can nip problems in the bud. Okay, and apart from that, once you have this problem, once you have diabetes, it is manageable. There are drugs for you that would help keep your sugar at the right levels. Once you take your drug the way your doctor says you should take it, then you're fine, you're good. Your blood sugar is normal, and then all of those problems will stay, away from you. I'll just add two more, and then that'll be all for on this episode. The other thing is about repeated injury, repeated injury to a wound. When a wound is trying to heal, and then you injure yourself at the same spot again. That's commoner in people that are bedridden, people that perhaps have spinal cord problems, and then they have to lie down flat in one position for very long. Usually because one stays in one position for very long, blood flow to that part of the body is not very good because of the pressure from maybe the bed or the chair. Okay, the blood flow is not very good. And because blood flow is not very good, it will affect wound healing at that place. It would also make that part of your body to have a wound easily. Okay, so with people with spinal cord injury that are, in one position for very long, lying down for very long, sitting in a chair for very long, then we as their caregivers will do well to turn them frequently. If they are in bed, we should turn them frequently to the right, to the left. In fact, we advise we do this every 2 hours. Turn them around. Yes, this can be a lot of work, but with dedication we can help them, because if we don't do that, then we risk leaving their wounds not to heal, and it may never heal really. Okay, so before I end this session, I know that I said that was going to be my last point, but there's this very important point that I need to make, and it's about bleaching the skin. a bleached skin has a compromised ability to heal a wound. And that's because usually bleaching the skin thins out the skin, reduces its ability to fight infections, you know, and so many other problems. But then I'm focusing on compromised ability of a bleached skin to heal a wound. Okay, so I need us to pay attention. Please, if you're bleaching already, kindly stop. I beg you, please stop bleaching. And if you're already, you know, thinking about it, please, I'll need you to think again. You know, kindly discard that thought from your mind. Do not bleach your skin. You're beautiful as you are. You are awesome as you are. Okay. Okay, so this is where I'm going to stop today on today's episode. I want to believe that you've been able to pick up one or two things as it relates to you. And then, you know, from here, we'll not just sit at home or, you know, run from pillar to post thinking that a wound or a wound that is not healing is a spiritual affliction. We're going to step out there and look for medical advice and get medical advice so that, you know, we can win the battle in time. Okay, so until I see you again, I hope you stay safe. And be deliberate about it.